I'd like to discuss six topics tonight, which we hadn't discussed previously. The first topic is ne'evah. That goes as follows. We have a din, and the rabbis made penalties for people who violate averus. So one of the penalties is if a person plants a tree during the Shemitah year, so the penalty is you have to rip out the tree. A person does a malacha on Chalamoid, so we destroy the malacha that he did. If a person cooks on Shabbos, he's not allowed to eat the food on Shabbos. He has to wait till after Shabbos. If a person mixes in a little treifis into a pot of soup and it's batel b'shishim, so we penalize him, he's not allowed to eat that soup. A whole series of penalties, midirabon. So there is a question regarding Shemitah. If somebody violated the laws of Shemitah, and a Jewish farmer in Eretz Yisrael planted, and he has vegetables, a grain, and since he was in violation of the din of Shemitah, do we have a penalty that you're not allowed to eat it? Now, Lemaisa, there are a group of farmers, there's a small minority of farmers in Eretz Yisrael who observe Shemitah, so they hardly have anything that grows on their farms. And then the bulk of the farmers rely on the Heta Mechira, that they appoint the Rabbanut as a shliach to sell their farm, and they rely on that Heta. So the question is, those who don't want to rely on the Heta Mechira, as we mentioned last week, the Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the Heta Mechira is because it's a Shas Hatchak. So as far as we who live in America are concerned, we don't have any Shas Hatchak, so we really should avoid getting involved in the Heta Mechira. So let's say an American is visiting Eretz Yisrael. Our American lives in America, and they're selling canned goods that come from Eretz Yisrael. So we should really avoid using the Heta Mechira. So the question is there a penalty that you're not allowed? Since if you don't hold from the Heta Mechira, so the farmers, we declare that the farmers violated the laws of Shemitah. Is there such a penalty or not? That if a farmer violated the laws of Shemitah, you're not allowed to eat the food that grows. So the Mishnah in Shviyas, and the fourth pair quotes a dispute between Beshama and Bisilo. And the Rambam learns that that's exactly the dispute. And the Psak Halacha is like Bisilo, that there is no penalty. So the Rambam writes, if a Jew violated the laws of Shemitah and he planted something, there's no penalty. Other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. If you look on the last daf in Yevamos, there's a famous thesis on that daf that we'll get to a little later. We spoke a little bit about. We'll return to that topic again. And the Ramban and the students of the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, on the last daf in Yevamos, they quote the Ramban, who doesn't agree with the Rambam. He paskins la'alocha that there is a penalty. If one violated laws of Shemitah, then you're not allowed to eat the vegetables or the grain that he produced. So what's the din, let's say, in Hilchas Shabbos? If a Jew violates a malach on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to benefit from that malach. So let's say there's a dispute in our generation about opening up soda bottles. If you have a plastic cap, or if you have a metal cap, are you allowed to open that up on Shabbos if it wasn't opened before Shabbos? You're opening up a milk container, ripping the cardboard opening on the milk container. So there are different opinions whether it's permissible or not permissible. Or you have an Erev in a community, and half the Jews hold from the Erev, half the people don't hold from the Erev. So what's the din? I'm eating in someone's home, and they opened up a container of orange juice in the middle of Shabbos. So they opened up a bottle of soda. And I machmir that it's not permissible, and this person relies on the opinions that it is permissible. Or all the food that they're having a kiddush and shul, all the food was carried in the Erev. If they wouldn't have used the Erev, there would be nothing to eat. So am I permitted to eat that food or not? So the Mishnah Brura quotes a klal, a rule from the Prima Godim, that whenever there's a question regarding any given activity, whether it's a malacha or not, even if the accepted opinion is that it's aser, but if there is a legitimate opinion that says that it's mutter, if the one who said mutter just made an outright mistake, that mistake is a mistake, there's nothing to rely on. But if there is a legitimate machlokes, even if the accepted view is that the activity is a malacha, it's aser, but you can't say that there's a penalty b'dieved. You cannot say that there should be a knas b'dieved. So that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in his sefer. He has a whole big fat sefer on Shemitah. He writes, as far as the iser of nevad, he says, first of all, most of the poskim hold that there is no penalty of nevad. Most of the poskim said the din is like Bishilil in the Mishnah, the way the Rambam read it, that there's no penalty of nevad. And the whole Shemitah, the whole din of Shemitah today, we assume is only midirabbanan. That's what we discussed already a month ago. We assume because we don't have the overwhelming majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, so the whole din of Shemitah is only midirabbanan. So what are you going to combine over here? You're going to combine a chumrah of the Ramban, that there is a penalty of neva that you're not allowed to eat it, and we're going to say we don't want to rely on the hetter mechira. So therefore, the food, the vegetables that they're going to sell me in the store in Eretz Yisrael based on hetter mechira, it's neva, so you're not allowed to eat it. So Shlomo Zalman says it's not so. Since there is a legitimate shita, that's what he writes in his sefer. First, he explains why Yesh lehem al mishi yismochu, those who hold for hetter mechira, there is what to rely on. So even though he recommended to people that they shouldn't rely on the hetter mechira, but you can't say that there's a penalty by the evid of neva. So that's as far as the neva is concerned. The second issue is meshumer. So that we already raised the topic a while ago. That's on the last daf in Yevamos. There is a Tosfos. I think it's the last Tosfos in Yevamos, on the last Omad Aleph in Yevamos, where Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam, who interprets a passage in the Torah's Kohanim as follows. The law is that during whatever grows during the Shemitah year, the farmer has a mitzvah to be mafkirit, to open up the gates of his field. The pasuk says, v'hashviyas tishmetenu unetashto. Tishmetenu means you should make it hefker. So he has an obligation to leave open the gates and to let everybody come and take whatever they want. So all of the farmers who rely on the hetter mechira lock the gates. They don't let anybody come in to take anything in their field. They're relying on the hetter mechira, that since they sold the field to a non-Jew, so the laws of Shemitah don't apply, so the pears are not hefker, so they don't have to leave it open to the public. But if one wants to be machmir and not to hold from the hetter mechira, so then we declare that the farmer violated the Isser of Meshumah. He wasn't mafke his peris. And the Rabbi Natam interprets the passage in the Torah's Kohanim in the beginning of Parshas Bahar that not only is it forbidden to lock the gates, if you went ahead and you did lock the gates, you're not allowed to eat the peris later on. That's Rabbi Natam Shita. Meshumer is also bachila. Not only the farmer is not allowed to eat it, others are not permitted to eat it either. So that's the shaila. Are we allowed to eat when you go to Eretz Yisrael and they sell, you go to any hotel or you go to the shuk and they're selling vegetables that was grown by the farmers in Eretz Yisrael? So true, there's no penalty on Nevad, but there should be a penalty of Meshumer. There should be a dinam. Rabbi Natam holds that Meshumer is a dimin atar. It's not a penalty. It's a dimin atar that you're not allowed to eat it. So most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rabbi Natam that there is no such line in the Torah's Kohanim, and they interpret the Torah's Kohanim totally differently, that it doesn't say anything about Meshumah. That's on the last daf in Yevamos. Also, Rishonim say there is no such din. And you're dealing with Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, which is only Medirabbanon, and most of the Rishonim say there is no din in Meshumah. And the Chazon Ish in his Sefer on Shemitah writes that you don't have to be Machmeh for the Rabbi Natan. There are different letters, and most of the letters the Chazon Ish wrote privately to people that they have a right to be Mekel, they're permitted to eat Meshumah. And they have one letter, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, when he published his Sefer on the Rambam and Hilchos Shviyos, so he was a nephew of the Chazon Ish, he is a nephew of the Chazon Ish, so he published a letter where the Chazon Ish recommended to someone that he should be choshish for Meshumah. So he was writing to one particular person, one of his Talmidim, so he recommended he should be medaktik on Meshumah. But strictly speaking, the minig really is to be mekel on Meshumah. That's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes. Minig olam is to be mekel on Meshumah because Rov HaRishonim don't agree with Rabbi Natam, and especially Bizman HaZeh, that the whole din of Shemitah is only with the Rabbanon, so that's why we don't worry about Meshumah. Another issue that we have to be concerned about is the din of Sfichim. What does Sfichim mean? We have the Pasuk in Chumash quotes, after the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us the din of Shemitah, that you're not allowed to plant anything during Shnas HaShemitah. So the Pasuk says, V'yim Toymar, and if the people will ask a question, V'noichal Bashana HaShviyas, what will we eat during the Shemitah year? We'll die from starvation. Hein lo nizra v'lo nesef es tuas hasod, we're not going to plant anything, we're not going to gather anything in. So there won't be any food, we're going to die from hunger. So the Rebbeinu Shlom gives a promise, V'tzivisiyas b'chose b'ashana ha-shishis, v'asasas ha-tvua l'shlosh ha-shanim. The Rebbeinu Shlom promises he's going to give a blessing, there's going to be so much food that's going to grow during the sixth year that they'll have enough to eat the next year. So the Pasuk says, V'im taimem ma'anocha b'ashana ha-shviyis, we won't have anything to eat. So Rabbi Akiva is quoted in the Gemara in Pesachim in Mokm Shonogu, and the original source of this statement of Rabbi Akiva is in the Torah's Kohanim, the Sifra, and that Pasuk in Parshas Bahar. Rabbi Akiva understands that the Pasuk is telling us that even what grows by itself, even if you have certain grain, will grow by itself. When you harvested the grain at the end of the season, so some of the kernels of grain stayed behind. And even though you didn't bury them deep in the ground, some of them will grow next year by themselves. So even what grows by itself is osa b'achila, a biblical prohibition. It's an issa d'oraisa, you're not permitted to eat svichim. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The majority of the Tanoim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and they say that it's not so, there is no, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. They agree that there is a din of svichim, that was the practice, that the people wouldn't grow even, the people wouldn't eat even what grew by itself in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmita, but they say that's an Isser midirabbanon, it's not an Isser min HaTorah, because we're afraid that every Averet people will plant during Shmita. Shmita was always a problem. Shmita during the period of the first Beis HaMikdash was a problem. That's why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were sent into exile, because they didn't observe the laws of Shmita. The Torah says in advance, if we won't observe the laws of Shemitah, we can suffer the punishment of going into Golos, and that's what happened. So Shemitah was always a problem. So during the days of the Tanoim, so the Chacham Rabbi Akiva say, no, it's not a din men HaTorah that Svichim Arasa. Svichim is an Issa midirabbanon. Why? Because every farmer will plant a lot of vegetables and grain, and then he'll say, look, it grew by itself, I didn't plant it. If he's going to have tons of grain, it'll be obvious that he planted it. It's not going to grow tons of grain. He'll sell it a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and he'll fool everybody into believing that all the stuff grew by itself. So the rabbi said that even if it's true that it grew by itself, we don't permit anyone to eat it because we're afraid people will violate the laws of Shemitah. So there is a din of Svichim that we prohibit one from eating even what grows by itself. Certainly if someone planted it, it's awesome. So most of the Rishonim do not accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Most of the Rishonim hold that the prohibition of Svichim is only midirabbanan. There is a minority opinion, the Smag and the Yireim, Paschal like Rabbi Akiva, Svichim is a biblical prohibition, Issa min HaTorah. And the Rambam and most of the Rishonim, the accepted opinion is that Svichim is only Issa midirabbanan. And that's why the Rambam writes, and all the Paschim quoted, that this din of Svichim, that it's Issa midirabbanan, only applies if it grew by itself or if he planted it in the farm that's owned by a Jew. But if the farm is owned by a non-Jew, they never introduced the prohibition of Svichim because non-Jew is permitted to plant Svichim. So here, most of the farmers in Eretz Yisrael rely on a Het Mechira. So when we spoke 2 weeks ago, a month ago, whenever it was, when we spoke about the Het Mechira, so we said there were those who opposed it on different grounds. So many said even though the sale is valid, you sold this land to the non-Jew, it belongs to the Nochri, but it still doesn't permit you to do the Avodah Sakarka. That was the position of many. So the farmers, so the land belongs to the non-Jew, we say the farmers are violating the laws of Shemitah. Okay, but the bottom line, the land belongs to the non-Jew. Then we mentioned that many were opposed to the Het Mechira. They said, what do you mean? In order to protect yourself from violating an Issa D'Rabbanan, Shemitah today is only Mid'Rabbanan, so in order to avoid violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan, they go and they violate an Issa Men HaTorah of selling part of Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. You're not permitted to do that. There's a pasuk in Chumash Lois Achanim, and there we said there are three levels of interpretation in the pasuk, and all three are quoted in Shulchan Aruch LaHalachim. One of the levels of interpretation is L'sitin lehem chanoya bekarka. You're not permitted to give a land in Eretz Yisrael to a to a non-Jew. So some were complaining, you're not allowed to sell a land to Eretz Yisrael. So it doesn't make sense to use a het mechira. You're violating an Issa D'Oraisa of selling the land to a non-Jew in order to avoid violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan doesn't make any sense. So the Chazon Ish went a step further. And he said, Ein shaliach ledvar avera. He said that since the farmers are not selling the land directly, they appoint a member of the Rabbanut, they appoint someone else as a shliach to sell a land, and since selling the land, the Chazon Ish is convinced that it's an Issa. Many Paschim said that in this case, we discussed the different reason why there's no prohibition of Lo Sechonim. Here, it's Latovis the Jew, it's only Lizman, different explanations why. But the Chazon Ish was convinced that it's a biblical prohibition of Lo Sechonim, and then he went one step further and he said the whole sale to the non-Jew is not valid. He said the field still belongs to the Jew, because since you appointed a shliach to sell it, ain't shliach l'daber. So if you put together the combination of everything, if you hold, you're combining a lot of things that nobody holds from. He's saying that there's a violation of Lo Sechonim, that you're selling it to the non-Jew is awesome. And since it's sold out, the shliach ain't shliach dvar aver, which most of the poskim hold is not so. Ein shliach dvar aver means that the farmer is not over the aver of selling to the non-Jew. The rabbi who sold it is over the aver. So he's going to burn in Gehenna, not me. That goes, who's going to suffer in Gehenna for selling it? But it doesn't mean that the sale is not valid. So the Chazon Ish adopted that one opinion in Tosfos, that the whole sale is not valid. We mentioned that that was a big machlokes during the days of the Nari Behuda. Nari Behuda thought a man wanted to divorce his wife and marry a younger girl. The wife whom he divorced happened to be the Nari Behuda's niece. He told over the story, I think. Well, he didn't tell the story. So the Nari Behuda followed that opinion in Taisvis that the get was given Bal Karcha. That's an Aver Midrabon to give a get Bal Karcha. So Nari Behuda followed that opinion that the whole get is not valid. Since he gave it Aide Shliach and the Shliach did an Avera, so the get is not valid. So Bitzula Hamburger was a contemporary of the Nari Behuda. They have correspondence on this, so he disagreed. He said the Iker is the other way. There's a big, most assumed, not like the Nari Behuda, most assumed, not like the Chazon Ish. So if you're going to follow the Chazon Ish, that ain't shalich, that it's an avera to sell a farm to a non-Jew, and ain't shalich l'dvar avera, so therefore the sale is not valid, so the farm still belongs to a Jew, so then you're going to have an Issa derabbanon of Svichim, because the farm belongs to a Jew. Yeah, you're talking about Shemitah midrabbanon, so the question is, are you mechuyev to combine so many chumras together on a Shemitah derabbanon? Most of the poskim hold that it's not a problem. And now, because of the complaint of the Chazon Ish, if I'm not mistaken, I think, like many Rabbonim, when the Balabatim come to Rabbonim to sell a chometz, so the rabbi doesn't buy the chometz from the Balabatim. What is he going to do with all this chometz? The rabbi is only appointed as a shliach of the Balabatim to sell a chometz to the non-Jew. So here, for many years, every Shemitah, for many, many years, when they did the Hetem Mechira, so the farmers would appoint someone from the Rabbanut as a shliach to sell a chometz for them. So now the last, I think already the last Shemitah, maybe the Shemitah before that, 14 years ago they changed it. A lot of rabbis have this also. When the Balabas signs that I hereby appoint the rabbi as a shliach, so he also writes, he signs a document, I am directly selling the chametz. With this document, I am selling the chametz to John Smith, the chametz of mine that's located in such and such an apartment. So he's signing a document, the Jew is selling it directly. The rabbi is just giving, not that the rabbi is acting as a shliach, the Jew signs the shtar directly. So that's what some have, I think that's the practice, the last three Shemitahs, when the farmers sign the shtar harshoah to appoint a member of the rabbanut as a shliach, so they also sign that we are directly selling the chametz to the non-Jew. Then the rabbi just delivers the shtar, that you can have a mailman deliver the shtar also, as long as the non-Jew gets the shtar by hook or by crook. And he wants to own the carcass, so it's considered as if the Jew, the farmer, sold the chametz directly. So you don't really get involved in the issue of ein shaliach l'dvar aver. But anyway, that's the issue of svichim. Then there's another issue, a fourth issue, that...
So that even those who don't approve of the Hetem Mechira could still rely on it with regard to svichim, that they would be allowed to...
Because if the din would have been like Rabbi Akiva, that Svichim would have been an Issa Deraisa, so then it seems that perhaps it wouldn't make a difference whether the Svichim grew in the form of a Jew or a non-Jew. But we pask in Lalocha that against Rabbi Akiva, most of the Rishonim, except for the Smag and the Irem, they accepted the opinion that Svichim is only midirabbanon, to serve as a deterrent, lest the farmer will want to violate the laws of Shemitah. So the Rishonim say, therefore, there were never goes a svichim in a sodah shal nochri. So if they sold the field to a non-Jew, so this is svichim in a sodah shal nochri. It happens that a Jew did the planting, but that's what the Rishonim say. There were never goes a svichim in a sodah shal nochri. So the gzera doesn't apply. So the gzera will only apply if you're concerned about the Chazon Ish's chumra on top of chumra, that it's a violation the araisa of lo sechanim. And ain't shalich ledvar avera. So therefore, the field never lost the ownership of the Jew. It still belongs to the Jewish farmer. It doesn't belong to the non-Jew. So then you'll have an issue of svichim. So that's what the poskim say. Svichim is only an issa derabbanan to begin with. And the shmitah today is only with the rabbanan. So it's a derabbanan on top of rabbanan. So you have to be choshish for the Chazon Ish's chumra on top of a chum. So that's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes. It's too many chumras over here.
Isn't svichim when it grows by itself?
Right. The Rambam writes, if someone plants something during Shemitah, there's no penalty like Hamavashal B'Shabbos, but it's also like regular Svichim. It's also with the general din of Svichim. There's no particular penalty. I apologize, there's seven issues, not six. Okay. Now the fourth issue, I think we're up to the fourth issue. First we discussed Neva, then we discussed Meshuma, then we discussed Svichim. So the fourth issue was Lifnei Iver. There is a din that One of the laws of Perishvias is that you're not allowed to make big business with the Perishvias. The Pasuk says, Vayso Shabbos Arts Lechem Liochlo. So the Tanoim Darshan Liochlo Velo Leschori. You're not allowed to make big business. So these people who rely on the Het and the Chira, they have business as usual. They're making a fortune. Whatever they make on a regular year, they're making this year during the Shemitah year. So isn't it an issue? The din is that if there's a farmer who violated the laws of Shemitah, I'm not allowed to buy the pears. But let's say the farmer planted. So if he knows that no one's going to buy from him, he's not going to get any customers. So it doesn't pay to plant. So he's only going to plant because he relies on the fact that customers are going to buy. So the real prohibition of lifnei v'lisita michshol is if I mislead the person, I egaman to do an avera in advance. But here it's also a form of lifnei v'lisita michshol. If he knows that he's going to have a customer, I'm going to buy the pears. So then he knows every year we buy the pears from him. Every Shemitah year, the religious Jews are going to buy the pears. So this encourages him to violate the laws of Shemitah. So isn't there an issue of lifnei v'lisita michshol? So that's where Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes again. There is a famous dispute from 200 years ago. The Shah Melech talks about this. What if there's a machloikis regarding something, whether it's asr or mutter, and I hold that it's asr and you hold that it's mutter? Am I permitted to give it to you? Let's say the original case that they argue about is smoking on Tisha B'Av. The din is you're not allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. So is it prohibited? Do you say that smoking today, not allowed to smoke any time because it's unhealthy? But somehow they thought then that smoking is healthy; it helps digestion. That's what they thought. That's what the Pnei Yeshua talks about smoking on Yom Tov. He says, "Yeah, it's ochel nefesh because it's good to helps you digest the food in your stomach." Okay. So they had a dispute since the smoking helps you digest the food in your stomach. So maybe it's like eating. So you're not allowed to smoke on Tisha B'Av. So there was a big machloikah. So the shaila is, if you ask me on Tisha B'Av, I'm from the Machmirim, that you're not allowed to smoke on Tisha B'Av. And you follow the Kula opinion, the leading opinion, that it is permissible to smoke on Tisha B'Av. So am I forbidden, if you ask me for a cigar or a cigarette, is it permissible for me, or is it forbidden for me to give you a cigarette? So the Shah Melech's opinion has been accepted already for 200 years, that's not lifnei v'lisita michshol, if he has a legitimate opinion to rely on. The farmers are relying on the Het Mechir. Het Mechir wasn't made up by dumbbells. It was from the 1600s, and the big rabbanim, the end of the 1800s, approved of it. So whoever wants to be machmir gezunt to hate, but you can't say that there's a violation of lifnei v'lisita michshol. Maybe we'll say this section, this part. Now, there's another din in the Kedushas Perishvias. The peiris of Shemitah, you're supposed to eat. Shabbos Arts Lechem Liochle, you're supposed to eat it. So let's say a person will sell peiris shviyas and he's going to take all the money and put it away in the bank. So that's a violation of the mitzvah of peiris shviyas. That's the issue. You're not allowed to do that. So the people who rely on the Het Mechira, so they hold that there's no Kedushas peiris shviyas. There's no Kedusha, it belongs to a non-Jewish, nothing applies. But let's say those who are concerned that they don't rely on the Het Mechira, so well, we're paying money, if we're going to buy vegetables from the store, so we're paying money to the store. So there is a din that Perishvias are topsim de mehem. If I give money to buy Perishvias, if there's a concern, maybe the Peris do have Kedushas Perishvias, so the money that I give the storekeeper becomes Nitvas be Kedushas Perishvias. So what's he going to do with the money? So he's going to put the money in the bank. Okay, so that's going to be his issue. So he relies on the Mekilim. So there's no, we said, he relies on the Het, the storekeeper is relying on the Het Mechira. So the Shah Melech says there's no problem of lifnei v'lisita michshol. But the problem is like this. Let's say I come and I give him I'm going to give the shopkeeper a $10 bill, he's going to give me change. So what's going to be the change? The money that he got from somebody else for selling perishvis. So there's a kedushas perishvis on the money. The money is nitvas b'kedushas perishvis. So the shopkeeper is not concerned about anything. He's relying on the Het Mechira. The farmers are relying on the Het Mechira. The shopkeeper is relying on the Het Mechira. So there's no lifnei. But what's going to be with all the frume customers, the machmirim? So if I'm be careful never to give more than the amount, I'll always come with pennies. And I'll pay the exact amount. I won't take any change, so we're all going to be safe. But it doesn't happen like that. You give him a $10 bill, he's going to give you change. I give all, he's going to give me change. So the change is going to be a problem. I have to take that money and buy some food and eat the food b'kedushas perishis before the Zman Habir. We're going to get later to discuss the Zman Habir. So some even raise the issue regarding a non-Jewish storekeeper. That was a big machlekes. Is this din that shviyas tafeses dameha, that if a Jewish shopkeeper, a Jewish farmer, sells peri shviyas, so the money that he gets as the mehamekach becomes nitvas b'kedushas peri shviyas, does that only apply if the one is selling the peri shviyas is Jewish? What if the one is selling it is not Jewish? Take for example, there is a gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, but the din is Avodah Zarah tafeses dameha. Let's say a Jew has a Avodah Zarah, or the Jew has a Yayin Nesach, a Tikruvus Avodah Zarah, Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, and he sells it, he buys it from one church and he's going to sell it to another church, and if it's Avodah Zarah here, it's going to remain Avodah Zarah there. Nobody was Mavatli Avodah Zarah, so it's still also Bahano. So the din is that the money that he gets in exchange for the Avodah Zarah that he sold is also Bahano. But the Gemara says, Beferish, what happens if a non-Jew sells Avodah Zarah? The Gemara says that there was a non-Jew who was preparing to convert, and he had Avodah Zarah, which he decided to reject. He's no longer going to believe in it. He's no longer going to practice Avodah Zarah. So the Rabbanim told him, make sure you sell all of your getchkis, make sure you sell all the Avodah Zarahs before you convert, because after you're going to convert, then you can't sell it. You're going to sell it, you could be getting Hanoah, and then the money is going to be also Hanoah, Avodah Zarah tafeses tameh. So he sold all the Avodah Zarahs before he converted. So the Gemara says, Beferish, if a non-Jew sells Avodah Zarah, it's not tafes damav. So the Shad is, what about over here? The Gemara has a pasuk over there. That din Avodah Zarah tafeses dameh only applies if a Jew is selling the Avodah Zarah. If a non-Jew sells, it doesn't apply. So here by Perishvis, this was a big hullabaloo of a machlokes. The Ridvaz is not the Radvaz. The Radvaz was a rabbi who lived in the 1500s. The Ridvaz just lived in the 1900s, and he was the rabbi in Slutsk for a while. He learned by the Beis Halevi, and he was a rabbi in America for quite a while. And then when he went to Eretz Yisrael, B'Sof Yomav, he had many disagreements with Rabbi Cook. One of them was about the Shemitah, many details about Shemitah. So sometimes he was Machmer, sometimes Rabbi Cook was Machmer. They had different opinions on different things. So the Ridvaz was of the opinion that this then even applies if a non-Jew sells Perishvis. Even if the shopkeeper is not Jewish, and he's selling Perishvis and he gets money, so the money that the Jews are going to give is going to be Nitvas B'Kedushas Perishvis. So if another Jew is going to come to buy anything in the store, it's going to come to buy something from Chutzlur, it's going to come to buy food at all, huh?
Paper towel.
So if the non-Jew is going to give me change from the $10 bill, he's going to give me the change that he got from selling Perishvi, it's going to be a problem for me. What am I going to do with the money? And the Chazanish held that that's not correct. The Chazanish held that just like I buy Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah tafes dameh only applies if it's a Jew who's selling the Avodah Zarah. If it's a non-Jew selling, the holding doesn't apply. So you thought the same thing is over here, that the Shviyas tafeses dameho only applies if it's a Jew who's selling the Peri Shviyas. It doesn't apply if it's a non-Jew selling. Just parenthetically, the Rabbonim from Eretz Yisrael from years ago all commented historically that the Chazanish, because he was so machmer, he had a whole campaign that no one should rely on the Het HaMechira. So you're going to make life impossible. Chazanish wanted to make chumras. He didn't want to make life impossible. So because he was so machmer, not to rely on Het HaMechira, so that's why he felt that he had to come up with a lot of kulas. So when it comes to Hilcha Shemitah, he has more kulas than everybody else. There are certain kulas that Rav Kook was machmer about, because Rav Kook had to have the Mechira, so he didn't need these kulas. So the Chazanish, Rav Kook had, he was so machmer not to rely on the Mechira. Chazanish was so machmer not to rely on the Mechira. So that's what they point out, that historically it's known that he felt that he had to come up with certain kulas.
So this is all the money in the country would be also by the end of the year.
That's right. That'll be a problem. So truth of the matter is that also the question is how far you mechuyev to be machmeh, even those who are machmeh, how far you mechuyev to be machmeh that everything is nitzvahs b'kedushas perish v'yis.
That was only if a goy is most of the cashiers, the kupayim, are Jews, so it doesn't help you.
Wouldn't even help. That's right.
And the transactions that were electronic in their recording?
No, that wouldn't be a problem. No, that's what the Chazanish pointed out. If you pay by check, the din of Shviyas Tafeses Dameh doesn't apply. The din of Tafes Damav only applies, the Gemara says, if it's Zeh Tachazeh. The Gemara tells a story. One of the Chachamim bought Peri Shviyas, but he was afraid to pay money because he knew the other one was going to put the money in a bank. He's not going to use the money to buy food and eat the food, B'kedushas Peri Shviyas. So he asked the other person, I want to buy in credit and I'll pay you next week. So first he ate up all the peris and then he paid him. After he ate up all the peris, then he paid him. Because the Gemara explains in the beginning of the last parak in Avodah Zarah that this din shviyas tafeses them as only if it's zet tachazet. If the perishviyas are here and the money is here, so it's zet tachazet. But if I already ate up the perishviyas, then there's no problem. That's when the Netziv writes. He was always makbid to buy an esrog from Eretz Yisrael. So even on Matzoy Shviyas, he also bought an esrog, but he was concerned. He didn't go for the het mechira. He was shaky, the het mechira. So he was afraid he's giving money to the merchant, to the esrog merchant. The esrog merchant is going to put the money in a savings account. He's not going to buy food and eat it because it's perishviyas. So the Netziv could pull this off. So he told the esrog merchant, I want to buy the esrog on credit, and after Yontif, I'll pay you. So he trusted the Netziv. So the Netziv didn't have a checking account. He had to pay by cash. So after Yontif, he cooked the esrog and he ate it. He said he ate the esrog, and after he ate it, then it's gone already. Then he paid the money. He said, there's no din of shviyas tafes. No, it's not zet tachazet. So the Chazanish said, the same is true. If you have a checking account, the Netziv didn't have checking. If you have a checking account, so you're not giving anything to the other person. The merchant has a right to draw against my account. And what's my account? I have a right to draw against the Yeshiva University's account. The Yeshiva University's account has a right to draw against those who give money to the Yeshiva. They have a right to draw against those who gave them checks. The whole thing is just in the luft. There isn't any zeh tachazeh. That's what the Chazanish wrote, that if you pay by checks, then there's no issue of shviyas tafes. That's one way. Or if you pay by credit card. Okay, if you don't pay actually by giving cash, there's no zeh tachazeh.
And maybe even paper money, or even it's backed by the full credit of whatever the Federal Reserve is, the Bank of Israel.
Paper money was always a shaila. The contradictions in the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer, whether paper money is considered kesef or paper money is considered shtar. So we assume that it is considered kesef. We don't use paper money for pinyan ma'aser sheni. Pinyan ma'aser sheni, you need dafke kesef. You can't use shove kesef. That's one of the three exceptions to the rule where shove kesef is no good. When you get married, so you give a ring, that's shove kesef. And all the time, shove kesef is good. So one of the exceptions to the rule is that pinyan ma'aser sheni need dafke kesef. So we're machmer not to use paper money by pinyan aben. You can't use shtore. Shove kesef you can use, but you can't use shtore. So we're machmer not to use by pinyan aben. And not to use it by pinyan ma'aser sheni, but basically we assume that paper money is considered kesef. We wouldn't say that the don't shvur the rice on paper money. If he says he lent him $100 cash, $100 bill, and he says he only borrowed $50, he's going to say zamoyde b'miktzas, but it's shtoris, ain't nishboy mal ashtoris. So we hold that's a shvur the rice. That's not a shvur the rabban. We're choshish for this because there are contradictions in the chasam sofer. So the choshish for the chasam sofer only with respect to the pinyan ma'aser sheni and the pinyan aben. He himself says like that. Chasam Sofer himself says like that.
I still don't understand how the money loses the kedusha of perish fees, because if you have this money and it needs to be bought, used for the payros, once it's used for the payros, that does the person who just sold the fruit now have to use it for payros? So it never loses it. So then someone's always has an issue at the end of Shemitah year that you're stuck with this money.
Right. So we mentioned previously, we're going to get to it again. If the peris grew in Eretz Yisrael, there's a farm that belongs to a non-Jew. And the peris grew on his farm. So do you say that those peris also have kedushas peris shviyas? So you say no, all the kedushas peris shviyas is only on peris that grow on the farm of a Jew. So Rabbi Yosef Karo, who lived in the 1500s, read a passage in the Toras Kahanim like that. Toras Kahanim, the Sifrot, talks about this in Bahar. So he understood the Toras Kahanim as saying that there's no kedushas peris shviyas on peris that grow on the farm of a non-Jew. And Mabit disagreed with him. He was a contemporary. Moshe Ditrani disagreed with Rabbi Yosef Karo. So then, I think we mentioned it, that Rabbi Yosef Karo saw that this is going to rip apart the whole community. There weren't so many Jews then. Almost everybody lived in Sfas. There was a small group in Yerushalayim. Most of the people lived in Sfas. So he felt it was going to rip apart the community. So they had a meeting of all the Rabbanim, and they took a vote, and the majority said, like Rabbi Yosef Karo, and they made a cherem, no one is allowed to be machmer like the Mabit. So I always get paskin that there's no kedushas perishvis and peris that grow on the farm of a non-Jew. So this was the common practice in Eretz Yisrael from the 1500s until the 1950s. And then the Chazanish said he thinks the Mabit is right. And he thinks the Mabit was greater in learning than Rabbi Yosef Karo. And he thinks that the cherem was based on an era, and there ain't no cherem, and it's not binding. We have to follow the Mabit. So around Bnei Brak and the surrounding areas, they follow the Mabit. The rest of Eretz Yisrael, they don't follow the Mabit. They follow the Beis Yosef. That was the cherem of the Beis Yosef, that you're not allowed to be machmer to observe kedushas peris shviyas and peris that grew in the form of a non-Jew. So here, They sold all the farms to non-Jews. Even if you say that het mechira is not valid, that they're not allowed to, the farmers are not allowed to work on the field. But bottom line, the field belongs to a non-Jew. Unless you say like the Chazan Ish, that the whole sale wasn't valid. But if you don't go that far with the Chumri, you just say the sale to the non-Jew was valid, but the het mechira is not valid. It doesn't help to allow you to plant. So then bottom line, the peiros grew in the field of a non-Jew. So there's no kedushas perishvi. So when you sell it, so that's not teifas doma. So you want to be concerned about all the money in Eretz Yisrael. This is, if you're going to be choshish for the Chazanish's position, that ain't shaliach ledvar aver. So they took care of that. The last three shmitas, in addition to appointing a member of the Rabbanut as a shliach, they have all the farmers signed that we are directly selling the field to the non-Jew.
How about the farmers that don't do shvi's at all?
No, they know that they're not going to get any business unless they do a het mechira. So they all sell. Yeah, they all do a het mechira. Some of them do not sell the farms and they observe Shemitah. Okay? Some of those who observe Shemitah are not Shomer Shabbos. They eat treifas all year long. But they sold them a bill of goods, they should observe Shemitah. So every 7 years, when there's a Shemitah, so more and more people are signing up. They're not going to use the het mechira. So half of those who are signing up are religious Jews who found it too difficult to observe Shemitah in the past, and then they finally, their children convinced them. Usually that's what happened. Their children embarrassed the parents. Ah, how can you violate Shabbos? You're Shomer Shabbos, and Shemitah is also Shabbos. So a lot of them were pressured into observing Shemitah and not to use that and chiyah by their children. And some of those observing Shemitah are totally from Shema Atzor Kibbutzim. They're totally not observant at all. And then when the Keren Hashvi is, they have a campaign to raise money all over the world to support the farmers because they're going to need money. Some of the Keren Hashvi's is dividing the money, so they don't have enough money. They really, it's not right. They don't have enough money to give all the farmers what they really need. So if they have a toss-up between giving to someone from the Shema Atzor Kibbutz as opposed to giving to someone from Perel Haguda Kibbutz, so they're gonna, their policy is they'll give to the Shema Atzor Kibbutz because Perel Haguda is going to observe Shemitah anyway. So they'll schnorr money from their relatives in America. The Shema Atzor guy, if we're not going to give him money, he's not going to observe Shemitah. So that's their policy. I want to get to that. That's one of the topics. Okay.
So the people in the neighborhood of Prague, if they don't use produce from the goyim, so what do they eat? If they're holding that, the goyim also have to hold the shemitah.
The non-Jews don't have to observe shemitah,
right.
But they follow the opinion that the produce that grows on the field of a non-Jew also has kedushas perishvi. So kedushas perishvi is fine. So it's a mitzvah to eat it. Okay. So it's mitzvah din to perish v'yis. There's no din of svichim b'shalakum. There's no prohibition. There's no din of nevad. If the Arab has a farm and he worked the farm, he didn't do any avera. So there's no prohibition. I'm mutter to eat it. There's no shal of nevad. There's no shal of svichim because it grew on the farm of a non-Jew. So that's not a shal. The only thing is, the parents are going to have kedushas perish v'yis. So fine. So we'll observe the laws of kedushas perish v'yis. So what are some of the laws? Okay, we'll talk about that now. What are some? That was one of the seven topics that I didn't want to talk about. What are some of the laws of the Kedushas Perishvi? So he said that one of the din of Oyster Shabbos Ras Lachem Liochle, it's a mitzvah to eat the Perishvias. It's a mitzvah. Some suggest the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he deleted about 16, 17 mitzvahs and the Rambam's listening from the mitzvahs, he has to replace them with another 16, 17 mitzvahs. So one of the mitzvahs that he replaced it with is the mitzvah of eating Perishvias. So the Mefarshim are not sure exactly what the Ramban meant. So the Megillas Esther, he's the standard commentary on the side of the Sefer. He understood the Ramban meant that it's really a mitzvah to eat perish meat. That's what traditionally it was understood like that. The Chazon Ish said no. The Ramban just meant the lav habo mechlal aseh. He didn't mean to say that it's a mitzvah aseh to eat perish meat. He meant that it's an iser aseh. But classically, it was always assumed that according to the Ramban, it's really a mitzvah to eat perish meat.
There's no special problem.
Some say there would be a special bracha, except that if you're eating from het mechira, so it belongs to a non-Jew, so if Yosef Kara holds that there is no kedushas perishvi, so that's why there's no bracha. We're not 100% convinced that it's that kedushas perishvi is noig b'shalakum. The Chazon Ish said you should be machmer, but if you would be really convinced, maybe there would be a bracha. That's what many folks can say. Would be a bracha.
If you buy from someone who didn't sell, then it would be actual perishvi.
Okay. Then it would be svichim. So svichim would be also b'achilu. The prohibition of svichim, we paskin svichim is also with the Rabban, even what grows by itself. Whatever someone plants, the Rambam says, is also included in svichim.
Yeah, what about
so fruits on a tree, fruits that grow on a tree are not included in svichim.
Right,
that's what Tosfos shows from the Gemara.
Okay,
then you have a kedusha of perishvi, right? I remember last Shemitah when I was in Eretz Yisrael 7 years ago, so they gave me a holy banana. And they said, I should eat the banana, has kedushas perishvis. Have in mind to be yotze the mitzvah of eating perishvis. The Chayyodam writes, Chayyodam was a businessman in Vilna, and then they appointed him a dayan in Vilna. He was related to the Vilna Gaon, and he's very proud. He calls Mechutani Hagro. He wasn't a Mechutan, he was a Mechutan of the son of the Gro. Okay. But he writes Mechutani Hagro. So he writes that in 1804 or something, there was an earthquake or a sreif, I really forgot what, and he almost got killed. And he took a neder that after he marries off all of his children, if he'll have enough money, he'll want to move to Eretz Yisrael to spend the last years of his life in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a whole sefer that's called Shari Tzedek, where he has all the dinim and bat mitzvahs of his baretz. So he writes, he quotes a tosefta in his sefer Shari Tzedek, has been a sodom on the bottom of the page, like a regular chokmah sodom, has been a sodom on the bottom. So he writes, he has tefillahs to be, he composed tefillahs to be recited by the Kosel HaMa'arovi, and tefillahs to be recited when you first arrive in Eretz Yisrael. Beautiful tefillahs, nobody says them. Nobody has the Shari Tzedek. They should print it in the Siddurim. Beautiful tefillahs. So he quotes a tosefta, and he interprets it to mean that before you eat perishvias, you have to wash until the sedai. Well, Rav Kook also interprets the tosefta like that. He quotes the Chayyadim, but then he thinks why, he explains why perhaps it doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. But that the Chayyadim thinks that it even applies Bizman Hazeh. The tosefta raises the possibility that since the perishvias have kedushas, and maybe it's like Maaseh Shein, and maybe it's like Karbonas, that you're not allowed to eat it in the state of Tumah. So no one would be allowed to eat perishvias Bizman Hazeh. So no, the tosefta says that's mutter. He permitted to eat perishvias in the state of Tumah, but it says you're not allowed to eat biyadayim, Mr. Wabitz. It sounds like you have to wash until it's yadayim before you eat, like they made a takani, you have to wash until it's yadayim before you eat truma. So before you eat truma, to remind you that if you're tummy, you have to go to a mikveh. And over here, it's like bread. You have to wash until it's yadayim, even though your whole body is tummy, so you can eat the bread. So that's what the Chayyodam assumes, that that din still applies bizman hazeh. So there is a din of kedushas perishvias. The Tosefta's, And it sounds like there's a mitzvah to eat the perishvias, like the poshup shat on the Raman is a mitzvah, because the Tosefta raises the possibility, what if you have some perishvias that are a little bit spoiled, but it's still edible, it's still roi l'achilo, so are you mechuyif to eat it? If it would have been any of the other 6 years, I wouldn't have eaten it. That's stale, it doesn't taste good. So the Tosefta says you're not mechuyif to eat it. Once it becomes totally spoiled, that it's not roi l'achila sodom, then for sure you're not mechuyif to eat it. It loses its kedushas perishvis. But calls man that it's still roi l'achila sodom, but it's a little bit spoiled, so one might have thought you're mechuyif to eat it, so the Tosefta says nish mechuyif. But the pashtus of the Tosefta is that it is a mitzvah to eat perishvis. One of the dinam of perishvis is li'och l'valo lehefsid, that you're not allowed to waste perishvis. So Tosis Frekta Kasha, not allowed to waste it, is that baltashchis. Whenever you left over, so your mother said, Bal Tashchis, don't leave it over to the starving people in India and Pakistan, whatever. So Zahadin from Bal Tashchis. So Tosis Frekta Kasha, what do you need a pasuk go over here, Liochla Velo Lehefsid, you're not allowed to waste, not allowed to throw out perishvias, not allowed to throw anything out. So Tosis says, no, but let's say you served a meal and someone left something over. What are you going to take everybody's leftovers and what are you going to force him to eat it? He doesn't want to eat it. He's already full, he's ready to plus, he doesn't want to eat it. What are you going to do? You're going to save it, put it in the freezer? You're not going to save it. Till a guest is going to come next time, then you're going to give him his shirayim, his leftover. You're not going to save it. So we assume there's no baltashchis. No one's going to eat anyway. There's no baltashchis. But if it's perishvias, then the din is li'och l'velo lehefsid. You're not allowed to throw it out, even though there's no violation of baltashchis. Nobody's going to eat it anyway. Tomorrow I'm going to eat fresh vegetables, and the next day I'm going to eat fresh sandwich. Everything fresh. I'm not going to eat the leftovers. So you're not mechuyif to save the leftovers. We spoke about it a month ago. You're not mechuyif to save the leftovers. Let's say you had a bowl of vegetable soup, and the vegetables vegetables are perishvias. It should be svichim. So you have to have a case where there's no iser svichim. It grew on a farm of a non-Jew. Grew on a farm of a non-Jew, we pass them, there's no kedushas perishvias. Let's say someone is choshish for the mabit. So let's say you had the vegetable soup, so and you leave over, you don't want to have the rest. So you're not mechuyif to put the leftover vegetable soup, or you had a sandwich that was made from flour from perishvias. So you drank some wine, you have something left over. So you're not mechuyif to put it away in the freezer to save it. The guy's not going to eat it, bottom line. But he's not allowed to throw it out in the garbage to destroy it now. He's not allowed to put it in the incinerator. That's a violation of li'och l'velo lehefsid. You have to put it in a bag and leave it on. You don't put it in the refrigerator. You leave it on the side until it gets spoiled. Nifsa machilas adam. And then you can, then it loses its kedushas perishvi. So that's what the poskim and Eretz Yisrael point out. If you're going to have, let's say, some leftover soup, vegetable soup, you're going to throw it in a bag. And then you're going to have some leftover, I don't know, something else from perishvi. So you're going to throw it in the same bag. So that's ibud perishvi's biyadai. If I throw these perishvi's into the soup, so I just destroyed it biyadai. So ibud biyadai, you're not allowed to do. Gram hefsid was a big machlekes in the last century. And in the 1900s, that's when they worked out all of these dinim, because years ago there were hardly any Jewish farmers. In the 1900s, they were interested in making a lot of kibbutzim, so they had many Jewish farmers. So gram hefsid was a big machlekes, so the generally accepted opinion was that a bein kol kol, the thing is going to be hoilach leibud. So then there's no prohibition of gram hefsid, but this, let's say to throw the leftover vegetable soup into the same container that has other foods, so that's ibud biyadayim, so that you shouldn't do. So you should put the leftover soup in one plastic bag and the leftover stuff in another plastic bag. And then later on, when everything becomes nifsim achilus, and then you can throw it all out. What are some of the other dinim? Liochle v'lo lehepsid.
Of shear, like if it's less than a kazayis, would there still be a din of an iser of ibud if it's less than a kazayis?
I think they assume that there still is an iser. I think they talk about if you eat an apple and you're left over, you usually leave over a little bit on the apple. You don't eat every single speck of the apple. So they say instead of throwing it in the garbage that's going to go into the incinerator, you should leave it out in a plastic bag for a while till it becomes spoiled, not roi l'achilas adam, then you can throw it out.
Well, that would be a response to the question of Tosfos, that you have bal tashkis, you couldn't have bal tashkis on a minuscule amount.
Right,
When it comes to ibud shviyas,
still applies. Right. Right. So the Gemara in Brachos sounds like it says explicitly that the Gemara in Brachos says like this. You say Bari Pri who ate some fruits. What if you have a fruit that's a chopped fruit? Have sliced fruit cup that you have. Chopped up in tiny pieces. So the chunks are still there. So you say Bari Pri who ate. So Rashi says on that Gemara, Trima, the Brocha on Trima is Bari Pri who ate. So Rashi translates Trima means that you chopped it up a little bit crushed, but it's not completely liquefied. So that Rashi is a source of a big dispute. What if you have applesauce? Do you still say Bar Pi Hetz? So Rashi says it's not Nistrasik Lagami. So some say Rashi is just giving you a definition. He's giving you a translation of the word Trima. That this word, when it appears, this Aramaic word, when it appears in the Talmud, means chopped up fruit, but it does mean totally liquefied. And others say no. Rashi is saying that Lahalacha, that if you have applesauce, if you have any fruit that was liquefied, so you don't say bar perhets on applesauce. And Shulchan Aruch, that's a machloikas, the Mechaba and the Ramah. The Mechaba quotes the Ramah. Rabbi Yosef Karo always passes like the Ramah, and it's machloikas Ramah against the Rashi and Tosfos. Rabbi Yosef Karo says you say bar perhets. And the Ramah says it's a shaila. And many, the Truma Sadeshin claims, according to Rashi, that it should be shahakal, it shouldn't be bar perhets. So therefore, if you say Bari Pri Hoetz on something that's supposed to be Shahakal, then you're not Yotze B'Di'evit. If B'Di'evit had said Shahakal on something that should have been Bari Pri Hoetz, then you are Yotze B'Di'evit. So he says, to play it safe, you should really say Shahakal on the applesauce. But B'Di'evit, the Ramah says, if a person by mistake said Bari Pri Hoetz on the applesauce, don't tell him to say a bracha over, because it didn't really is like the Mechaber. So that's the Shaila. Are you allowed to make applesauce from apples that grew in Shemitah year? So the Chaya Yodam learns the simple pshat in the Gemara that you're not allowed to, because the Gemara says that's called hepsid. The apples grew, they were a pri. When you make applesauce, so the Ramah says you say shahakal. What do you mean you say shahakal? It's not a pri. It means you destroyed the pri. It's no longer a pri. And the Minig Olam is lahakel, that since the Ramah himself said Mi'ikar Adin, the Mechab is really right. It's just lechumra to play it safe, and b'di'evit, if you said hoetz, don't say over the bracha, because that's really correct. Mechab Peshitta is really correct. So the Minig Olam is that we don't consider, we're talking about Shemitah the Rabbanim, we're not talking about Shemitah the Raisis. So the Minig Olam is that you do make applesauce. You do make applesauce from
apple juice.
Or let's say apple juice. There's also a Shaila. So the Gemara says that Mashkim, the Gemara quotes in Mishnah, Mashkim, the juices that you squeeze out of the grapes or olives are considered pri. On on grape juice or wine, you say bari pri hagofen. It's considered pri. You really should have said bari pri hoetz, but they made even a fancier bracha, bari pri hagofen, so it's a pri. What about olive oil? So the Gemara says it depends. A guy's going to take a bottle of olive oil, drink it like this, that's not normal. So if you eat or drink something in an abnormal fashion, you certainly don't say a fancy bracha. Maybe you say shakal, maybe no bracha at all. That's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. If you drink a bottle of olive oil, Ozukei mazik, the Gemara says that's not normal. So Rashi says no bracha at all. The Rambam says it's knocked down to shahakol. Normally, if you have olive oil, you pour it on a salad as a salad dressing. So it's a nikir and a tofel. So you say bari pri hadoma on the vegetables. You don't say, or if you pour olive oil in a soup. So whatever bracha the soup is bari pri hadoma. So the olive oil is a tofel. But the Gemara says there will be a rare case. If a person has something, some infection in his throat, and the doctors recommend that he should have a lot of olive oil, so he's going to have a vegetable soup that should have been bari pri hadoma, and the doctor's going to tell him, pour in an extra dose of olive oil, and that's the reason why he's eating this soup. He's not really hungry for soup. Then the Gemara says, say bari pri ha'etz on the olive oil. In such a case, because the olive oil is the ikir, and the soup is the tofel. So the Gemara says, machlekes hatanaim, ablezer, Rabbi Shua, pasen like Rabbi Shua, the only two fruit juices that are considered pri are mashkem hayotzim, the juice that comes out from olives, and the juice that comes out from grapes, and all other fruit juices are shahakal. So in that Gemara, there's a famous machlekes, the Rashba and the Rosh. So the Rashba says, Manishtana, why were olives and grapes singled out? So he says, Pashat, because when everybody plants olives, al das to make olive oil. They all plant grapes in order to make wine out of it. And if sun-kissed oranges, orange juice, if they plant juice oranges, they don't plant eating oranges, they plant many, many acres of juice oranges, so since it was planted, adaita to make, or if they make, if the companies plant apples in order to make apple juice, so the apple juice is going to be hoetz, and the orange juice is going to be hoetz. Whatever was clearly planted, intending to make juice out of it, that juice is also going to be the same as olive oil and grape juice. That's what the Rashba says. And there are more paskins like the Rosh. Not so. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, no, that olive oil and grape juice and wine is singled out by the Torah as having special chashivas. That's why these two are considered a pri, and all other fruit juices are shahakal, even if the fruits were planted al dasgeit. So it should, and the Gemara puts these together. Shmita, you're not allowed to ruin the pri. So the Gemara says, to make olive oil and to make wine out of the grapes or the olives that grew in Shemitah year, that's not a violation of Leochla v'lola hepsid, because it's going to retain the status of a pri even when it's in the state of juice. But the simple reading in the Gemara is that to make orange juice or to make apple juice from apples or oranges that have a kedushas, if they have a kedushas perishvitz, that would be a violation of Leochla v'lola hepsid. That's what the Chayodim writes in his sefer. You're not allowed to make apple juice from peris that grew in Shemitah. So the Chazanish ignores the Chayodim. I don't think he ever quotes from the Chayodim as a Shari Tzedi. He ignores it. He says it's just not so. We don't. Mikra Adin, we really hold like the Rashba, that whenever the fruit was planted al das to make a juice, he should really say bari pi hoetz on that juice. We don't follow that opinion. Mahalach al Maisa, we say shahakal on it. But b'di'eved, if you would say bari pi hoetz on the apple juice or the orange juice, you would be yotze because the din is really like the Rashba. So he says when it comes to Shemitah, the Chazanish also knows that the Shemitah the Rabban. Comes to Shemitah, so we rely on the Rashba that you're permitted to make apple juice, orange juice from.
So Aaron Solovich is possible to make, make a bori pri on poured orange juice.
Really?
When I was in Stokey, yeah, it was for the time.
Okay.
Okay. Children to verify, but that's what I remember.
Okay. In Shulchan Aruch says not so, but that's the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin should have been by Shemitah. We certainly follow like that. Yeah. There are those who argue.
How about a fruit like elderberry, which is a carcinogen, it's a regular fruit, and is always boiled, and it's specifically used for the juice, and so therefore maybe it would be hayetz. I mean, maybe unless it's mixed with something else, but it's only eaten as a
juice.
Had as a juice.
Could be. I don't know. That's a good shayla. I don't know. You have to look it up.
But Maisa, would we ask it if you make virtue eggs on apple juice? Would you have to make a
shahakal? If Rabban Soloveitchik says that's
the only on that special.
No. If it's planted, no. The Rashba holds that that's the correct bracha. And the Chazanish says, Mikra Adin, that's what we really pass on like the Rashba. And when it says in Shulchan Aruch, you say shahakal, that's like by the applesauce. That the Ramah said, Mikra Adin really is that the applesauce is really hoetz, like the Mechaber said from the Rambam. And we say shahakal just to play it safe, but the evidence said hoetz, he would be hoetz. So the same by all the other juices. We really, some Dikar Adin is really like the Rashba, that all the juices should, if it was planted al das to make the juices should really be Hu'etz. And that's why by Shemitah we're Mekal, that it's not a violation of Hepsid. So, but Yevit, if someone would say Hu'etz, we would say
Hu'etz.
No, they're not. Then it has to be Shahakal, and if we say Hu'etz, you're not Yo'etz. If you take an eating orange, not a juice orange, and you squeeze out the juice, that's clearly Shahakal, and if you said Hu'etz, you wouldn't be Yo'etz. It's only if it was planted al das came.
Right, so like if you make your own, you squeeze your own, and assuming that it's pure, that you don't have any little bits of the fruit in it, then if you made the mistake and you said barbiturates, you would then have to do
If it's an eating orange, you can buy juice oranges in the store also. But if it's an eating orange, then the Gemara Paskin is that a shahakal, then it's not a shahakal. Only if it's a juice orange.
Again, just to sum up, Shemitah, the Chazanish would make a bar for your
age? No. We say shahakal, but he says since the real din is like the Rashba, should have been Hu'etz, it is the priest, so that's not a violation of Hefsid Perishvis. The Chayyotim writes not so. Chayyotim writes, he's not allowed to make orange juice. It doesn't go into any details if it's juice orange. It just says, since the bracha shahakol, so based on the Gemara, 2 and 2 is 4, showing it's a violation of hepsid, you're not allowed to.
You said earlier that someone gave you a banana.
Yeah.
For makeup, was it banana may be svichen.
Could be. That's an interesting question. I don't know. Some raise an issue. Some raised an issue if they made orange juice from Perishvias, and you should assume that the oranges did have a Kedushas Perishvias, let's say in Bnei Brak, they would assume even if it grew, and even if the sale to the non-Jew was valid, and it grew on a farm that really belonged to the non-Jew, so they would say that it still has Kedushas Perishvias. They follow them a bit. So some were of the opinion that B'diyevid, you're not allowed to eat it, because once you violated Liyach Levalo Lehepsid, so you're not allowed to eat the juice. So the Chazanish and many others say the Pas HaShulchan already writes, and others say that that's not correct. Even if you're not allowed to make orange juice, you're not allowed to make apple juice. Let's say you took eating oranges and you made juice out of it, and you did wrong. You took apples that were planted to eat and you made juice out of it, and you did wrong. It's a violation. So now the Shaila is there a din that you're not allowed to eat it? So that's what the Chazanish and many Poskim inform. They say that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? Now that they made juice out of it, and now you're not allowed to eat it, and now for sure it's hefsid. Adarabba, drink the juice, so there won't be any hefsid. It wasn't right to make it into juice. Once it made it into juice, so you got to drink it anyway. That's not a violation. To continue to drink, that's not a violation of liochla v'lola hefsid. One of the laws of Kedushas Perishvis is that you're not allowed to export the Peris to Chutz Lords. So in Eretz Yisrael, they export all over the world during Shnas HaShmit because they're relying on the Hetem Mechira. They sold it to a non-Jew and they're following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Karo that there is no Kedushas Perishvis on Peris that belong to a non-Jew. But according to the Chazanish, who holds that even if it belongs to a non-Jew, it still has Kedushas Perishvis. So one of the dinim, that's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah in Shvias, that you're not permitted to export Perishvis into Chutz Lords. The Poskim all say that to export Esrogim, even though the Esrogim have Kedushas Perishvis, that's permissible. So they say because it's a Makom Mitzvah, we don't plan to eat the Esrogim. That's why next year, after Sukkot, there'll be some people who will be, when the yeshiva guys are going to be going back to Eretz Yisrael after Yontif, after Sukkot, so they'll be taking sacks full of Esrogim with them, because there's a minority opinion that the Esrogim have a Kedushas Perishvis, you are allowed to export it to Chutz Lord on the condition that you bring it back there, it's on you eat it there. So there's going to be someone asking you if you want to give them their Esrogim. So give them, most of the Poskim say you don't have to give back, you don't have to send back the Esrogim. It's permissible to ship it to Chutz Lord for the purpose of using it for the mitzvah, the Netziv. The Netziv was concerned that his Esrogim had a Kedushas Perishvis, so he ate it. He cooked it and he ate it. And then after he ate it, then he paid the money, because if it's not Zetachazet, that's not Teifas Domas.
So you have to do one or the other then?
What do you mean one or the other?
Either eat it or send it back?
No. Most of the Poskim say you don't have to eat it. Who's interested? We never eat an Esrig. And you don't have to send it back there. So just let it sit till it rots. You're not allowed to throw it out right away in the garbage, and then they're going to incinerate it. You have to keep it in the house till it becomes Nifsa Me'achila. Take a couple of weeks, a couple of months, or whatever, and then you throw it out in the garbage.
Is all the produce that's shipped from Eretz Yisrael here during the Shemitah year under the Hetter Mechira? Or is it, or there's some fields that they don't do anything?
I don't think so. Everything has a Hetter Mechira. It's not shy. Everybody does the Hetter Mechira because they know no one's going to buy it. Of course, yes.
Doesn't there have to be some transfer of money with the estuary in order for it to be lachem?
I mean, how did the Netziv fulfill the mitzvah on the first of the Yom Tov? You need shalachem and atorah. The din is that we make a kinyan hakboh, I pick it up like this. The Gemara says kinyan hakboh is only midirabbanon. That's machlekes Rabbi Yochanan v'Shlokish. So Tosis paskens like Rabbi Yochanan that hakboh is only midirabbanon. Meshicha is only midirabbanon. If you move it like this, only midirabbanon. And there are Rishonim who say that on the first of the Yom Tov, you need shalachem and atorah. It's not sufficient with shalachem midirabbanon. But if you have a kinyan yad or a kinyan chotzer, that's good ben atorah. So if, let's say I hold the esrog in my hand, over here, right in my hand. Or I take the esrog in my automobile and I drive home, or I take it into my house. So then I'm kind of with the kinyan chotzer. So that everybody agrees, that's a kinyan min haTorah. Some of the poskim are talking about a case, the guy bought an esrog in the store, and he didn't hold it in his hand like this. If I hold it like this, that's a kinyan hakboh. That's min derabbanan. If I hold it like this, that's a kinyan yad. So whatever is in my hand, mamash, is yad. Whatever is directly above my hand is avir yad. So yad and ava yad and chotzer and ava chotzer, that's min haTorah. So they're talking about a case, a guy bought an esrog in a box and he picks up the box like this. A normal person doesn't hold the box like this. They're talking a case, the fellow only made a kinyan hakboh and he never paid the money, so he wasn't kind with kesef, so he can't be yotze on the first day sukkahs in each alachem min haTorah. But if you make a kinyan yad or a kinyan chotzer, that'll solve that problem. Right.
How's kesef kind of, if it's metal then? Is that a problem? Then how
right, well, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, in haTorah, kesef is kona, midirabbanan, in addition to the kesef, you need hakboh and meshicha. But if you only have a hakboh and meshicha, it's only a kinyan midirabbanan, so many half of the rishonim hold that a kinyan midirabbanan is not sufficient, it's not satisfactory when you require a shalachem in haTorah. So the first day sukkah, you need shalachem in haTorah. The second day sukkah, you only need shalachem midirabbanan. So kinyan derabbanan would be good for the second day sukkah, but for the first day sukkah, you need shalachem in haTorah. So that's what some poskim insist. That's what he's bringing up. You have to pay money. So how can the Netziv not pay the money till after he ate it up? How is he Yotzeh? So the answer, the Netziv took it into his apartment. The house, he was kind of with a kinyan chotzer. Kinyan chotzer is min haTorah. That solved the problem. Then there's another din. I think we're up to the seventh din. I'm not sure. Sixth din. There's another din of Shas Habir. There's a poskim in Chumash. Voice of Shabbos was lachem liyochel lachol behem tochov lachaya asher be'atzecha tiyeh kol tvoso lecho. The pears that grow during Shnas HaShmita, you should eat it. As Kedusha, maybe you're not allowed to, you're not permitted to let the animals eat it. You can't let the animals eat Ma'aseh Shein. You can't let the animals eat Karbonis. So it says, no, lachol behem tochov lachaya asher be'atzecha tiyeh kol tvoso lecho. You have to let the animals eat it also. And if you put up fences to prevent animals from eating, you let people eat. You won't let, that's also a violation. You have to let the animals eat. You have to be open to the public, open to the people, and open to the animals. So that's the pasuk. So the Gemara has a drush on that pasuk. The Gemara says you're only allowed to eat whatever fruits or vegetables as long as this vegetable, there are still carrots on the field, there's still shmita to get carrots on the field, that the animals can eat, so you can eat the carrots that you have in the house. I have a bottle of wine that was made from grapes. If there's still some grapes on the farm that the animals can eat, then I'm allowed to drink this wine. As soon as no longer as soon as there's no longer any of this fruit or vegetable or grain in the field, then I'm not allowed to eat what I have in the house either. That's called Shas Habir. So what are you supposed to do when it comes Shas Habir? So there are different opinions. The Ramban HaChumash is not sure whether this whole institution of Shas Habir, is this a din min haTorah, or was this invented by the Rabban? Because you have so many coolers in the Mishnah, so it sounds like it's an invention by the Rabban. It doesn't sound like it's poor people can eat after the Shas Habir. Why does it depend whether you're poor or rich? There's so many other coolers. So it sounds like it's only a din by the Rabban. So Ramban writes, he's not sure whether it's a din derais or din derabban. I'll call upon him, there is a din of Shas Habir. When is the Shas Habir? So they're going to have charts in Eretz Yisrael. The Shas Habir was always in the eighth year. That's in the eighth year. That's not during the seventh year. So they have detailed charts. There's a Shas Habir for tomatoes and potatoes, for oranges and apples and wheat and barley and oats and rye. Every single fruit and vegetable and grain has its own Shas Habir. It can't be a precise date, so they have approximate date. So always get paskin, that's the Shas Habir, that date. I think they all have the same date. The Badats, with the Rabbanut, everybody, I think they all have the exact same date. They're approximate dates. And what are you supposed to do when it comes to Shas Habir? So the Rambam has an opinion after the Shas Habir, you got to burn everything. That's not the accepted opinion. So the accepted opinion, the way the Chazon Ish writes, the accepted opinion is, you're supposed to be mafkir the peiris before the Shas Habir comes. And when that day comes, they tell you on the chart when the Shas Habir is. So you're supposed to be mafkir the peiris prior to the Shas Habir. And you make it, the Gemara says, when you're mafkir, there's a din midirabon, and you have to declare hefkin in the presence of three people. So one should have the ability to be zoicha min hefkin, and the other two should be able to serve as witnesses that it's legitimate. So you make a declaration, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, that's the nusach, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, hereby mafkir this, Kol HaKadim Zocha, whoever wants can take it. No, so if I'm going to be mafkir in the presence of someone else, if they're going to grab it, so you mafkir in the presence of your friends, so then no one's going to grab
the
it.
The guy who grabs it is also...
so he also has to be mafkir. Okay, so someone, so you can decide to eat it up right now. So let's say I'm going to be mafkirit a day or 2 days or a week before the Shas Habir. I'm afraid I'm going to forget, so I'll be mafkirit a week before the Shas Habir. And then when that day goes by, then I can be zeichet back min ahefka. Let's say I have a bottle of wine. So I'm afraid I'm going to forget, so I'll put it outside. I declare that it's hefker. And then when it comes the day after the Shas Habir, I can take it back and I can use it. If I wait until after the Shas Habir is up, and then I want to be mafkirit, so then... the accepted opinion is that it's too late. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, as the last page, I think, in his first Sefer on Orech Chaim, he writes that if you have something after the Shas Habir, say mafkir and take it back when I have it. So that's not the accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is like the Chazon Ish said. The commonly practiced view is you have to be mafkir prior to the Shas Habir, and if it's hefker the day of the Shas Habir, then you can be zeicha back, then you can take it back. So this is a din, let's say, I sold some perish shviyas and the money was nitvas b'kedusha. If you have really perish shviyas, they have kedusha. Usually we don't have. It's a karka shel nochri. So we assume, like the Beis Yosef, there are no perish shviyas. There are no kedushas perish shviyas. But if you sold something that had kedushas perish shviyas and the kedusha was chal onto the money, so then you have to buy some food with the money and eat that money. That food, you can buy a salami sandwich. But this is perish shviyas from grapes, oranges, apples, pears, carrots, tomatoes, potatoes, whatever. So you have to eat your salami sandwich before the Zman Abir of the original fruit was. Whatever the original fruit was that I sold, and the money was nitfas b'kedushas perish shviyas, so whatever I'm going to buy, whatever food I'm going to buy, I have to eat up that food before the Shas Abir of that original food. So this is a big issue, the din of Shas Abir. Let's say I buy a bottle of wine. So I buy a bottle of wine. The wine can last for years. I can have wine that's 10 years old in my house sitting around. It may get spoiled. Okay, so I can have it though way after the 8th year. So if the wine, if I'm concerned about the Kedusha's Perish Vias, see, if they sell wine that's relying on the Het Mechiras Avaita, according to the Chazon Ish, the whole sale never took place and the farm belongs to a Jew. The whole sale never took place because ain't Shlech Devar there. And even if you hold that the sale did take place, so the Chazon Ish has his opinion, he says you got to follow the Mabit, that this Kedusha's Perish Vias, even on Paris that grew in a non-Jewish farm. So according to the Chazon Ish, you got to drink up all that wine before the Shas Habir, or you got to be mafka the wine. I buy wine in America, I got to be mafka the wine before the Shas Habir. I got to find out, when is the Shas Habir of the grapes, and so I got to be mafka it before. Then Mizrecha back when I have after the Shas Habir. So it's a big pain in the neck. It's interesting, the Mishnah has in Shviyas, there's an obscure Mishnah that different Meforshim had to learn the Mishnah. So the generally accepted Psak is the following. That's based on the Rash on Mishnahis and the Bar Tinur. They say like the very strange din. Let's say I pickled vegetables together in the same brine. So I have tomatoes, potatoes, whatever. Four different vegetables. Each one has a different Shas Habir. So when it comes to Shas Habir of one, so I got to eat that one up fast. Otherwise, it's going to become nesa or be mafkirit. So let's say I'll take that one out, and before the Shas Habir, I'll take it out and I'll eat it up. What about all the others? They have a blia, they have a nesina stam. They were all in the brine together. So do you say that the nesina stam also has a din of Shas Habir? So the Mishnah, the way the Rash and the Bar Tinur learn the Mishnah makes the following distinction: if I put in the vegetables in the brine before the Shas Habir came, so it was heterabola, at the time that the bliya occurred, everything was still kosher, so then you don't have to worry about the bliya. But if I put in four vegetables in a brine and one of them already had a Shas HaBir, and the other three don't, so it's treif. It's after the Shas HaBir, and I wasn't mafker it in advance, and I'm not allowed to eat it, then if I put it in when it's already treif Givaron, then it will make treif the other two. So why is it, why does it make a difference whether I put in the vegetable before it became treif or after it became treif? The original Pasuk in Chumash about kashering treif for kelim says, if you cook a korban chatos in a pot, the flesh of a korban chatos can only be eaten by kohanim. So let's say you cook the korban chatos in a pot, and the kohanim has to finish eating the flesh of the chatos by midnight, by chatos. Nechol yom v'layla ad chatos. So he has a whole bunch of kohanim, and they finish eating every speck of flesh, and they wash out the pot, and they put it back on the shelf. When it comes alos ha-shachar, the next morning the pot becomes treif. It becomes noiser. What becomes treif? Everything was kosher when he cooked. The bliyah, the fleshy bliyah in the pot becomes treif. And it says in the Chumash, you have to kasher the pot. Gemara should the bama, you have to kasher the pot. That's how the Gemara knows that if you have chometz dika pots all year long, there was nothing treif. It's kosher top and kosher level. Everything is fine. You have chometz dika pots. When it comes Pesach, you want to use those pots, you have to kasher the pots. Why do you have to kasher the pots? Everything was kosher so far. If I cook treifus in a pot, I understand I have to kasher. Here was kasher. The answer is, well, the original pasuk in Chumash about kashering pots. Well, there are two psukim in Chumash. One is by Giulei Klei Midyan, when the Jews conquered, when they won the war against the Midyanim, so they took all the treifer pots. So the goyim cooked chazer in the pots. So they cooked chazer, so you got a kasher different treifer bliya. But the other pasuk in Parshas Tzav that says when the kohanim cooked the korban chatas in a pot, that's kosher. And they finished eating it, and they washed out the pot, and they put it away in the closet. It says you have to kasher the pot when it comes alos hashachar, even though it's at the time that you cooked it, it was kasher. So how come over here we distinguish that if you put in the vegetables before the Shas HaBir, and it's coming the Shas HaBir from the tomatoes, so quickly take out all the tomatoes, eat them up, and all the other stuff is no problem. Why is no problem? What happened to the bliya? Even if the bliya came at the time that it was mutter, should also make trade. So apparently the Mishnah is assuming that the real din of Tam Kikah doesn't apply here. There's a famous Nadi Yehuda that's quoted on the bottom of the page in Yerideya, that the din of Tam Kikah, that it makes treif a pot, that it makes treif the other food, only applies to an Issa Lav. If you have something that's only also with an Issa Resay, so that's a lower level of an Issa, so there's no din menatara of Tam Kikah. Here everything's only an Issa Resay. Liokhla v'loleha, everything is an Issa Resay. There is no Lav over here. Apparently, the whole Tam Kikar is only Midirabbanon here. So they only instituted the din of Tam Kikar if you put in the vegetable after the Shas HaBir, and then it gives a flavor into the other vegetables in the same brine, then you're not allowed to eat any of the vegetables. So in the eighth year, everyone's going to have charts when you have to finish eating every fruit and vegetable and grain and everything. In the seventh year, as we're proceeding during the seventh year, there are different charts where the Chazon Ish is make and everybody else is machmer. The question is, when does the prohibition of Sfichim begin? When does this din with the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to eat Sfichim that grew during the seventh year by themselves, when does that begin? So that's a dispute. So the Chazon Ish is very makel. He starts later and he ends earlier. He thinks that the prohibition of Sfichim only begins when most of the produce that's being sold on the market is what grew in the seventh year. You're going to have a taruvis. You don't know what grew earlier, what grew later. So he says the prohibition of Sfichim is only, let's say they're selling flour in the market. So the flour could be last year's flour, could be this year's flour. So if it has a date on the bag, say, no, it's from last year, okay? But if it doesn't have any date on the bag, say, you don't know when it's from. So the Chazon Ish says the prohibition of Sfichim only begins when rove of the specific pri is from the Shemitah year, and it ends in the eighth year when some of the Paris that are being sold already from the eighth year. And the other poskim say, no, it starts earlier and ends later. They say the other poskim are machmer when some of the Paris that are being sold in the seventh year are grew in the seventh year, and that went rov. And the prohibition continues into the eighth year, into the time that rov of the Paris are the heter, rov of the Paris from the eighth year. So they have different charts. They say, according to the Chazon Ish, they have the lenient man, when it begins, when it ends, and according to the others, the biggest man, when it begins, when it ends.
Going back to the issue about kashering the kelim, especially mentioned by the kohanim, why would they have to kasher them if they didn't use them within 24 hours?
Right. So, means if they want to use it the very next day. Minatari, you only have to kasher if it's within 24 hours.
So wouldn't the same apply if you're not going to eat it right away?
Midrabbanan, you have to cash even after 24 hours. But in a Torah, the pasuk goes, if they want to use the same pot within 24 hours. There are some yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael where they're going to cash all the pots in the kitchen when it's going to come. Every day there's a different shas habir. And the eighth year, there's going to be a shas habir for potatoes, tomatoes, onions, carrots, and the flesh, Baruch Hashem, is not kedushas perish mitzvahs, but all the fruits and vegetables, everything has. So the Shem Yeshiva is where they like to pile on chumas on top of chumas. So the choshesh, everything had kedushas perish mitzvahs, and even though it's mutter at the time that you cooked it, you got a kasher, even in a ben yom, you got a kasher because the bli is going to go into the next food that you're going to cook. So the pashtus in the Mishnah is not so. That's not the accepted opinion. We pass them. Whenever it was cooked beheter, before the shas habir was up, then there's no din of tam kikah. The seventh issue that I didn't touch on yet.
Somebody gives me a bottle of wine and I see it from Eretz Yisrael and says Kedusha Shmiyas on it. It's clearly past the time of year. What do I do with it?
Does it say Oitza Bezen? That's the last topic. No Oitza Bezen. So you're not supposed to drink it. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's after the Shas HaBiur, but they probably relied. It says Kedusha is Peir Shvias. But they didn't rely on the Het Mechira. Then they're assuming that it does that. So you can't drink. Okay, you got to pour it down the sink.
Yeah.
I think Shvias Tefes is the Meizah din derasa. That's learned down from a pasuk. Shmita Bizman is only the Rabbanim. So Tefes is the Meizah. It's also only the Rabbanim. Right, so that's the seventh topic of Oitza Bezdin. I don't think so. You're not allowed to give Perish Shvias to a goy. That's also a Mishnah. If the Shas Habir does have Kedushas Perish Shvias, still has Kedushas Perish
Shvias.
Because you're not allowed to use it. I mean, you have to wait. You have to open it up and wait till it gets spoiled. I don't know. But you're not allowed to drink it. Okay.
What is with Perish Shvias? You buy in the grocery store, which is loaned by a goy.
Yes.
The grocery store.
Yes.
I mean, masses, and you don't have to have to there. But what is with the money to give to the goy there for that?
So that's what we mentioned. Is if they really kedusha is perish vias, usually assume
it's produce of
hetem mechira. So hetem mechira, we assume.
I don't know if it's hetem mechira or what anything. It's produced in Israel.
So everything produced in Israel has hetem mechira. So hetem mechira is it belonged to a non-Jew. So the accepted psak for centuries was not like the Chazon Ish. Whatever grew on a farm that belonged to a non-Jew, there's no kedushas perish shvias. If the bottle says kedushas perish shvias, it has kedushas perish shvias. Okay, but if it says hetem mechira, so it's a different story. Now there's a tosefta in shvias that was sleeping. The tosefta was dormant for quite a few centuries. No one paid attention. Rav Kook woke everybody up. He said, hey, here's a Tosefta that's going to solve a lot of our problems. The Tosefta says something about Oitza Bezen, that if the farmer, these dinim, that if the farmer sells the Perish Shvias, then the money is nitvah's Kedusha's Perish Shvias, because he's paying money for the vegetables that he sold you. So that's a Zetach HaZeh, and the money is the Meha Mekach. If Bezen is supervising the distribution of the food, so two dinim, two problems are solved. The problem of Teufis Domeho is solved because the Bezdin is not allowed to sell the Paris and get money for the Paris. The Bezdin can only ask people to pay the farmer. The farmer didn't have to do any work at all. So the guy was packaging and cleaning off the stuff and delivering it to the store. So we're not paying him a penny for the fruits and the vegetables. He's not allowed to sell it. We're just paying him for his tircha. So then the Tosefta says that there's no din of Shvias Tafes is Domeho. So Rav Kook said, this part they were not happy about this. Rav Kook said, normally in a normal year, the guy would make $50,000 on his own, a number, I don't know, $75,000 a year from his vegetables. So he can say, during Shnas HaShmita, I'm not taking a penny for the vegetables, I'm just going to charge you for my labor, for packaging and washing and delivering, and I want $75,000 for that. So the Chazon Ish says, what kind of faker eye is that? What do you mean? If he sells it to you, there's $75,000. He gives it to you for nothing, he just charges it for labor. That's $75,000. How can it be? So he has to charge. Yeah, you're cheating the Rabbanu Shalom. Goyim Das Elyon. That's what the Chazon Ish tells us. So he says, this kula of Oitza Bezdin only works that you can pay, and it's not a problem of Teufis Dameha, only works if he's not going to get the same amount. He has to get paid less. Okay, that's a detailed question.
Person working on the field. To work the field.
That's his problem. He wants to rely on the Het Mechira, whatever.
But what's the Tosefta talking about?
The sefta is talking, let's say, about fruits. Fruits that grow on a tree. Because svichim are going to be also.
But that's a nesser. Why wouldn't that be a nesser like tiktor? If your mass.
So if the bezdin, if the bezdin organizes it in order to distribute it to the whole public, the din of ketzir is I'm not allowed to harvest and keep everything for myself. But let's say I want to pluck off some, I want to keep it for myself, a little bit to keep for myself. That's mutter.
Right.
So here the farmer, the bezdin is going to point the farmer as their shliach. He's going to be the shliach bezdin. To harvest everything and in order to make it available to the public in the best possible way. So other obviously he's distributing it to the whole public.
Payment for the labor doesn't turn it into nesser.
Right. That's what the Tosefta says. You pay for the labor and that's okay. So that's where Rav Kook sent a letter to Rav Chaim Berlin. Rav Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv who retired to Eretz Yisrael in his old age. He was a rav in Russia. In communist Russia, and then he retired to Eretz Yisrael. So he chapped the spider. Meiridik, we got to introduce Eitzah Bezdin. We got to do that. So Eitzah Bezdin solves one problem that there's no issue of Shvi'is Tafesis Domeha, because the money is not paid. It's not Zeh Tachazeh for the. It's not the Meha Mekach. It's for the work that the person did. And then also the Tosefta says that if you have an Eitzah Bezdin, there's no din of Shas Habir. You don't have to worry. That could be the story with the wine. It could be that it says it has Kedushas Peir Shvi'is. But if it says Oitzah Bezdin, if it doesn't, it doesn't. But if it says Oitzah Bezdin, then there's no din of Shas Habir. Because the whole idea of Shas Habir is you have to be mafkrit before it comes to Shas Habir. If Bezdin was supervising the distribution of all of the fruits from the farm, it's as if from day number one everything was done under the auspices of the Bezdin. The idea of making it hefkim is make it available to the public, divided amongst everybody in a democratic fashion. So Bezdin is dividing it among the public over here. So that's what the Tosefta says. Anything that's done under the auspices of Eitzah Bezdin, so there's not going to be a problem of Shas Habir. So even after the Shas Habir comes, you don't have to be mafkid before and Rezech and back after. Sure. It's considered Kimavur from day number one.
I thought it was Machloket. That there is a Machloket if Perut, that they collected through Otzar Beitin is Tzarekhi or Lotzarekhi.
I'm not familiar.
I don't know. I don't think the Sefer itself mentions it. The matter of Perut.
I'm not sure. Could be. I don't know. But I think that's the generally accepted opinion. I thought it's based on the Tosefta that there's no din of Shas Habir. The Shas Habir doesn't affect Eitzah Bezdin.
So Maisa today, you walk into on Broadway, you see Jaffa oranges. What do you do with this?
I would not buy the Jaffa oranges. What do you have to look for trouble? What do you need the whole ASIC for?
Well, like somebody gave it to you. Okay. Assuming the Hetem Mechira is okay, you don't have to worry about Trumas Maisa's anything.
No, if you have a Hetem Mechira and it grew by non-Jew, then we paskan you have to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisris. And then we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you Mafresh Trumas Gedolah Maisris. Well, are they Mafresh in Eretz Yisrael? So sometimes the Rabbanot, you have to find out. I think they don't take responsibility for anything that they export to Chutz
Lo'ar. They don't Mafresh.
They don't Mafresh because they rely on the Tshuvas Maharsham, Shvera Maharsham. Masham has a tshuva that whatever grew in Eretz Yisrael with the intention, they planted it intending to export it, so there's no chi of trumas and maizis. That's a very difficult shita. Masham is known as a big name.
The Rambam also goes out to Eretz Yisrael, there's no trumas and maizis.
If it goes out to Chutz Lo'aretz before the
Miruach. No, I'm talking about just in general.
Yeah, if it goes out, if the Miruach is done in Chutz Lo'aretz, but if everything was done in Eretz Yisrael and it was already Tevel, it doesn't lose the status of Tevel when you export it to Chutz Lo'aretz. I think that's what
the
I think when you look in Yerideya, they quote that Rambam. So on the bottom of the page of Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, who was known as a famous Zionist, but he knew how to learn also. So you have his comments to Tzvi Latzadik. I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik was so surprised. Who is this? Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher? He didn't know that he knew how to learn. So they have this commentary on the bottom of the page. So he quotes the Mishnah Melech, and the Rambam says, when you export the Paris to Chutz Lo'aretz, it's not Chayim and Shomus and Maisa, only if it didn't have the Miruach and the Rias Pinah Bayis in Eretz Yisrael. But if it became already Tevel Gomer in Eretz Yisrael, then it doesn't help to export it to Chutz Lo'aretz.
Why hasn't the Sotcha Bacon caught on everywhere?
Has caught on.
Yes,
now it became much more popular. So they had to have people sign up in advance. So they were getting people, they had salesmen, going over all over Eretz Yisrael, asking people, will you sign up to buy only from this store that's going to have Eitzah Bezdin? So they had the people pay money in advance to pay their rabbanim who are going to be supervising this. And then as the year proceeds, they're going to be buying from the Eitzah Bezdin.
So we are making the Chiras Eitzah Bezdin. We don't need a Hetem
Mechira for this. Well, if you're not going to have a Hetem Mechira, you're not going to be planting anything. You're not going to be planting, nothing's going to grow. So you're not going to have... The fruits on the tree will be Eitzah Bezin, but the vegetables and the grains, if you don't plant, nothing is going to grow.
When the Shviz begin for the fruits? When the Shviz begin for the fruits? Apples, is it Tu B'Shvat or is it Rosh Hashanah?
With respect to which din?
To Shviz. When does the Shviz begin for apples and oranges?
Which aspect of Shviz? The Kedusha Shviz. Kedusha Shviz, it goes Basa Chanota. It depends when the fruit ripened while it's still on the tree. If the Chanota took place during the Shemitah year, the same is with Chumas and Maisus. Peres Eilin goes Basa Chanota. So it's something approximate to Shlish.
Well, if it ripened today, it's before Tu B'Shvat. Is it Shviz already?
So that's Machlekes Achreinim on the first daf in Rosh Hashanah. Machlekes the Maharam and the Shalom. Rabbi Kivege points that out on the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. When you say Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, does that apply also to Shemitah? Or does it only apply to Trumas and Maisus?
We have to be Machmir for a year and a half.
We left out a lot of details. Okay, we covered the seven topics that we left out last time. Yes?
If he didn't permit an inflation, an inflated value given to